from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Today on the show, we're going to be talking about a couple topics. Number one, we're going to talk about the moniker of Islamofascism, and I've rethought my whole stance on it. I said in previous ones.
I don't even know what it means. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it's kind of like a word that the conservatives used to throw around for Islam. They were trying to associate fascism with Islam.
Oh, they were trying to, like, Islamofascism is like a nice buzzword, kind of like the red communist scare.
It was kind of a buzzword. And at first, my reaction to the word was just saying, oh, it's just some conservative prick trying to make us believe that, you know, all Islam is a bunch of fascists. Now, with that said, I made a list of principles that both fascism and Islam share that has made me reconsider. But
oh boy.
also what we will talk about is Jim Carrey and his crusade against the MMR vaccine, and about the Taliban and their ambition to take over Pakistan. But first, let's talk about Islamofascism.
It's terrorists and Jim Carrey.
And the terrorism of comedy. But yeah, that's our show for today. So let's begin, shall we, by talking about the Islamofascist thing. So, okay, let's get it straight. Basically, it's to try to conceptualize radical Islam. So radical Islam is considered by many to be called, or encapsulate, the concept of Islamofascism. So they believe it's a fascist ideology. So obviously some people were like, no, fascism is not at all like Islam, and, you know, even in its most extremes. But I was actually watching a video with Christopher Hitchens, who was actually defending the term, and he laid out some pretty damn good points.
You know, I just don't know. Christopher Hitchens is a drunk, and
he is a louse, sir. Can you trust anything that a drunk says?
I just think
he's a drunk and an atheist. He obviously has no morals.
No, I'm just saying that he has some pretty out there views, and sure, he might be able to spin things in a certain way, but I mean, for the most part, you know where his you know where everything that he's saying comes from, and that's from a religion needs to be destroyed.
Yeah, all religion
is evil. So I'm sure if you asked him what he thought of Christianity, he'd say it was relatively fascist too.
Well, in terms of, I think, his attitudes for Christianity, he does admit that it's not fascist in nature. Like, okay, here's the thing. You can admit that Christopher Hitchens may not be the greatest sort of like, or even most trusted source of objectivity.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, if he does make a claim, he will back up his shit. So you have to take the Christopher Hitchens phenomenon into, you know, in mind when you're trying to answer these questions, because the man is he's like an arsenal of knowledge and wit. You have to acknowledge that man, just at least in terms of that.
I acknowledge him, but I'm not going to believe everything he says.
I've laid out some of the similarities and some of the differences.
Yeah, let's go through it.
I thought we'd go through. Okay. So one of the first things about fascism, and this is if you look for it anywhere, the first word you'll ever find is that it is a radical ideology. Now, we may take that word for granted, radical, but think about what that means. I mean, there are plenty of ideologies that are themselves not very radical at all. Like, for instance, you could hold that the ideology that human beings should be allowed to pursue their own interests in a, you know, in an environment where they're allowed to develop resources and sell them at you know, particular prices according to demand, and so on and so forth. It's not a very radical idea. It doesn't demand absolute adherence to. You know, there are people that can believe something else, and then that's fine. But a radical attitude is one in which, you know, it's a join us or be destroyed kind of attitude. So that's the first thing of fascism. And those are principles that are shared with radical Islam. Let's not deny that. Like, radical Islam is not interested in other religions, is it? It's not interested in tolerance. It's not interested in getting along with other people. It's interested in one thing, complete and utter homogeneity of belief. So we will admit that they're radical in that nature. So we can close that book, or is there anything else?
No, that's fine.
Okay. The other aspect of fascism is that it is authoritarian by nature. So that there is a privileged group of individuals that disseminate the kind of information and control that the organism follows.
So basically, there's a leader and you have to obey the leader.
Absolutely. And it is very radical. All right. Is there any sort of aspect of this that might...
No, that's fine. Okay. Keep going.
Okay. The other thing that it rejects is it rejects... or that it has is it rejects individualism. So the individual is not regarded as important or significant. Rather, it is the group or the belief itself that's important.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to reject that at all. Okay, there's one of the other aspects, and this is a part we're going to probably debate, is that it has some control over the economy, or that sometimes it becomes its own economy. Like it tries to control business. Because it views sort of like all funds or
everything is
funds.
Happening underneath the umbrella of
So this is a part where maybe we can say that's not 100% true, or is it?
I don't know. I mean, there's definitely a whole bunch of Islamic rules as to what you can or cannot sell. I'm quite sure
there is, and you have to consider also the fact that most of the trusted banks in the Middle East or lending institutions are all religious, like they are religious institutions. They offer the service of the banking services because all the other corporations are not trusted. So they are banks. So there is definitely an economy, a private economy that happens within this religion. So it's not just a belief system. It's more than that. It is its own form of government, if you want.
Huh.
And it controls sort of like, you know, like it, as any financial institution, it has its own rules and regulations and so on and so forth.
So are you saying that the financial institutions are religious, or are you saying that the religious organizations
are financial
are
institutions?
Also the...
That is correct.
So
is
if you've got a bank, you go
to your church.
To the church.
That is right.
Wow.
Well, you remember that girl, there's this woman, I'm trying to remember her name, but I never do her justice. She wrote a book called Infidel.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, she was a Somalian Muslim, and she just talked about converting atheism, so on and so forth. And she mentions in the book that really the church was the only trusted financial institutions, because other ones were just owned by these dudes who just... You know, not always give back your money. So
yeah,
you were taking a risk.
If the date trade goes bad, then he's out of his stall and in another fucking...
He lost 50 camels. You will not get your money today, sir.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. So we do admit that there are similarities there. Another similarity is they're on the right side or conservative side of the political spectrum. Now, a lot of... You know, that's kind of like why left is a socialist kind of perspective, and right is ultimately, at the end, fascist. So we can see that, yes, religious institutions are very conservative. Like, that is an understatement. So they share that in common. Another principle is that the adherents are incapable of dissent. Like, you will not tolerate dissent. Like, that's obviously part of, you know, some of the more radical parts of Islam. They are anti-intellectual. Now, this is the part that you could debate. Because there, you can say that there's a certain type, a restricted type of intellectualism that happens within the idea itself. Like, read the Quran and let's talk about the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
But they're generally anti-intellectual towards everything outside of the Quran. So.
Well, I mean, you take a look at their attitudes towards educating women, their attitudes towards publishing books, publishing scientific papers.
Oh, God.
Participating in the scientific community.
Yeah.
Participating in the intellectual community in general.
Yep.
I mean, if you want to talk about an intellectual thing that Islamic people do, I mean, lots of them, interpret the Quran and philosophize about that, but it's all within the religion, and I wouldn't really call it so much intellectualizing as maybe philosophizing.
Musings about it.
Advising about it? I don't know.
Yeah, well, anytime you have a very rigid framework in which you can extend the boundaries of your philosophizing, I think that then it usually sort of categorizes itself as musings, because
yeah,
someone's already thought of it and you can't think outside of it, so you're just musing on their previous thoughts.
I get what you're doing with this whole list, but at the same time, I kind of have this feeling that, you know, you could take aspects of any group and basically say, well, here are some similarities. But, you know, unless you got the meat and potatoes that are matching up, then...
Well, I ask you, what is the, in your opinion, what is the meat and potatoes element of fascism in general? What does it represent to you?
For me, if it ain't fascism unless you're killing thousands and thousands of people.
All right. I present to you one piece of evidence that I think that you're going to find quite interesting, was that there was a In the 1930s, there was a fascist Jewish group called the Revisionists Maximilians. That was their name.
Mm-hmm.
They were Jewish fascists. They were Zionists, essentially, like hardcore, you know, like the Jewish race is the greatest race ever and cannot tolerate dissent or anti-Zionism and so on and so forth. So this was during the 1930s. Now, obviously, this group died and no one really talks about a fascist Jewish group, but fascism is possible in all sort of like political and religious spectrums. And I don't see that, I don't see sort of like the radical Islam as being that different from the Jewish fascist movement of the 1930s. You know, we have to kind of like separate this idea that fascism is Nazism. We're not calling them Nazis. They're not Islamo-Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
But they are fascist. Like there is a very fascist attitude. And this brings me to the last thing. Like, one of the big things about fascism is it always promotes this very masculine, you know, heroic militarism kind of attitude, and it rejects, like, multiculturalism. That's another aspect. But the promotion of the man as kind of like the embodiment of everything that's good, for instance, is something that is very characteristic, in my opinion, of Islam in general.
Yeah, okay. But then what is the point? Because you can tell me this. What's the point, other than pissing off a bunch of Islamic people, to calling it Islamofascism? What are you trying to accomplish, other than basically just identifying Islam as fascist? I understand your point, because you're like, you know what, all these points, you could say that it is fascist, and maybe if we recognize that these governments are basically fascist governments, then we can start, you know, dealing with them because they're fascist, rather than not dealing with them because we feel that they're Islamic and we shouldn't probably be messing with their religious blah, blah, blah.
I don't know, right? But I think there's an inherent... Anytime you declare something as fascist, there's a different reaction in your brain. All of a sudden you're like, whoa, did my grandpa die because of some crazy ass fascist? It's basically, you know what it is? It's a nomenclature that allows you the time to comprehend the very basic instinct that human beings have had over the last, you know, 50 or 60 years, and it's that fascism is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Fascism is one of those things where it's so far on a political spectrum that it's as, or if not, much more deadly than communism. Like, you know, I don't disagree in the 1950s that people really feared communism, because I think at its far left spectrum, it is crazy. Like, it's not a very good system, and people were afraid of it for a good reason. And on the other side, the right side, the fascist side, we have to be afraid of that as well. And anytime we label something as fascist, we are making a statement about them. Because all of these traits, being radical authoritarianism, rejecting individualism, they sound horrible to us.
Mm-hmm.
But to them, that makes a lot of fucking sense. If I was to tell you, yeah, we reject individualism, that'd be absolutely. Do you oppose homosexuality? Oh, yes, of course, it's unnatural. They don't have a problem with this definition. We have a problem with that definition. We need to acknowledge that definition applies to, you know, to much of Islam. We just have to admit that.
I just am personally slightly worried about labeling an entire religion as basically being fascist, because it turns every single practitioner of Islam basically against the people who are calling them fascists. You know, it puts a very clear line in the sand that says you are on the fascist side, even if you might not be an Islamo-fascist. You know, you might as well be, hey, Jacob, fascist guy, how you doing? How do you feel about that?
Well, how do people over there feel with being labeled as fascists? I mean, we may think that fascist is a dirty word, but there are plenty of people that call themselves fascist with some degree of fucking pride.
Back in the day, the Italian fascist party, they were just like, hey, we're happy, we are fascists.
Well, you know what, they were so fascist that they actually thought the Nazis were, you know, a degradation of fascism, which is funny because terrible warriors were they. You know, like, Germany saved your asses. But you probably had the purer form of fascism, I will admit. You probably had the better version, you know, because the German kind is very scary. Like, they were, the Italian fascists were very nationalistic, but the German fascists were very racist. You know, that was the kind of difference. one made one sort of very murderous, and the other one just made them a bunch of cocky sons of bitches that you could barely stand talking to. Kind of a fundamental difference there. But, I mean, I admit that there is kind of like, I understand your fear of saying, well, you're labeling these individuals as fascists.
You're
drawing the battle lines, and it makes it difficult for them to kind of like, for the moderates to appreciate to kind of stay within our zone of the fence, you know? Like, if you ask them, do you believe in Western values or do you believe in your religion? That would be a very frightening thing to just sort of like ask to a lot of people, because you would force them into a very unfair decision. And I'm not saying to anybody that that decision has to be made. Again, this refers to a very specific type of Islam, but it is nevertheless one of its inevitable forms. Like, the really hardcore Christians, they may be a minority now, but anybody who gives you the Bible and says, follow this thing exactly, they will inevitably create crazy nut jobs. Okay,
it all depends on if they concentrate on the New or Old Testament.
Even with the New Testament, it is very confusing. I mean, like, even the old one, they did not have a concept for hell. That changes everything, man. The New Testament may be peaceful to you, but when you consider the Old Testament with the New Testament, now all of a sudden it becomes very fucking confusing, because I mean, God just used to smite you, but after the New Testament, he'd smite you and he'd send you to hell forever. Like, that is an eternity of torture rather than just a momentary fucking, you know, sapping out of reality. Mm. So, yeah, that changes the picture entirely. The New Testament, for people, may seem like, wow, it was so revolutionary. Yes, but the problem is sort of like the philosophical application of hell and what that means now. Because God just doesn't come off as only vengeful in life. He is also vengeful in the afterlife. And that's all kinds of crazy shit. So don't go pretending the New Testament is some kind of motherfucking peace, you know, sort of like thing to the world. Because if you look at the Bible itself, it was designed and it was put together through the Nicene Creed to be a conquering manual. You know, Constantinople was a fucking conqueror. He was not interested in peace. Would that man give you a fucking book that leads to peace? No, my friend. Those aspects were called the Gnostic Gospels, and they were removed from the Bible because they were too peaceful. So you have literally the most hardcore version and the most combative version of the Bible available to you. Right. Everything else is some fucking fanciful ass magical shit that you're never going to see. You know, the Gospel of fucking Thomas, the Gospel of Mary, the Gospel of Judas. You're not even going to read that shit, but that's some hippie crap, man. They eliminated that because it just didn't fit into the whole thing. So yeah, inevitably, you're going to give that in the hands of certain people, and these people will interpret it in violent ways. What do you think the Middle Ages was? A literal interpretation of the Nicene Creed. That's the Middle Ages for you. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go back to the Middle Ages, that's what that fucking manual gives you. It gives you the Middle Ages. So, you know, you have to recognize that element, even within your own religion. So we've been doing Christianity a service by not pointing to the fact that their manual is a barbaric torture device meant to, you know, encourage slavery, death, and destruction. We forgot about that. We just give them a fucking, you know,
give them a wash.
We give them a pass. You know, they're like, well, we're not going to deny your part in the evolution of our culture. You know, like, there are still some values even within the Bible that are good. You know, it's not all bad. But there's a lot of bad. There's a lot of things that can kind of corrupt any human being.
Well, figure this. If there wasn't hundreds of years of terrible rule under the fucking fists of all the religious people, then the Founding Fathers probably wouldn't have done that whole separation of church and state
probably
thing.
Probably not, no. I mean, it got so bad that I don't know if you read this, but this is an article I put up from 2002. There was a fire in a school for girls, and they weren't dressed in burqas. They were trying to escape the fire, and the police prevented them from escaping the building because they weren't dressed properly. This is the kind of rule you can expect from theocracies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those girls died. They all died because they wouldn't let them leave the building because they were dressed inappropriately. So that's what you get. That's what you get from theocratic rule. Very predictable. Very predictable.
That's pretty insane.
It is insane.
Predictably insane.
It is predictably insane. Anybody who tells you that modern society as we live now is a product of Christian values and morals has never really read the fucking Bible. It's just clear and obvious to me. They get their ethics from our society that is a secular society. Hello? Yeah, I'm sure you believed in God, but you believed in God in a secular society where that was a choice. It was not an obligation. You would have reacted very fucking differently. And your society would be very different because of that.
Yeah, because it would end up being a Christiano-fascist
situation. Exactly.
And this is my whole issue with talking about Islamo-fascist. Because
it's the truth, but I know it sounds very upsetting.
You can apply it to any fucking organization, though. And, you know, as you said, the Jews had their fascist organizations. I mean, the Christians, they were doing that fascist shit during the Middle Ages. So it's just, I mean, obviously we need to deal with these issues within religions. And but to label it is just inflammatory.
Well, I know it. I'm sorry. The fact that labeling something what it is inflammatory. But you know what? People got to deal with that shit, because I'm not going to pussyfoot around and say, well, I don't want to use this word for political reasons. I'm sorry. The days of allowing Islamofascists to go without the moniker is the same. It's kind of the same attitude that allows those same elements to exist, which leads me to our new point about the Taliban, you know, being closer to Islamabad, capturing the capital of Pakistan, in case you didn't know. Now, the Taliban is on a fucking tear in Pakistan, and that's some scary-ass shit, because the Taliban are Islamofascists. Now, let me ask you this. What do you foresee, a potential of a Pakistan being taken over by Taliban? Give me an impression of what that is like.
It would be absolutely fucking horrible.
Now, Pakistan is, as I understand it, a nuclear state. I don't know how many nukes they have. I think it might be about 300. I'm not entirely sure how many it is.
They have enough to heat the entire region up nice and toasty.
Very fucking toasty. Now, when the Taliban was in control of Afghanistan, what did they do? They obliterated all their forms of culture. They instituted Sharia law, and their rule was tyrannical, to say the fucking least. Very motherfucking fascist. Would anybody deny that Afghanistan or the Taliban was a fascist state?
No.
I mean, it may be a theocratic fascism, but it's nevertheless a very fascist motherfucking state. And I am finding that there is a general lack of this type of coverage all over the place. This I feel is being ignored in sort of Western media. Am I just being paranoid here?
Not really. Unless you pay attention to PBS and you catch the occasional really depressing special on the details of how fucked up everything is over there. I mean, I saw a Frontline documentary on Pakistan that just literally, it put me in a depression for about 3 days.
This is a man who's thought a lot about Pakistan, and he's not too happy about the things going on over there. What is the solution? I mean, you've thought about this more than I have. What is the solution?
There really is no solution, because the number of crazy people, like, you have to understand, this isn't just an area that's kind of... looking at countries and say, you know, look at Canada and how thinly spread out the population is. It isn't like that in, say, Pakistan. There's a lot of fucking people jammed into that area, and they're all crazy. So when you're talking about crazy tribes, you're not talking about tribes in the conventional way where you would imagine a tribe of people being just a small group of people trying to make it. These are millions of fucking people that are living in the valleys, all of them with AK-47s and other guns laying around from, you know, the 50 years of warfare that they've been living through. It is the worst possible scenario.
It is a hotbed. It is literally a hotbed waiting to explode.
And these people, their lives are completely different from ours, and they're just based around the idea of, you know, living in a warlike fucking state. So,
now, okay, but do you think a solution would be dismantling all the motherfucking nukes? Like, taking over, saying, these nukes, all of these weapons have to be dismantled. Like, we gotta get them out of there.
You can't do it. You can't do it. Pakistan won't listen. Definitely now they won't listen. They need every single show of strength that they can get their hands on, and there's no way that they would give up the ability to have nukes, especially not with... Because here's the problem, is that you've got the situation... It's falling apart on both ends, because the situation with India is also still fucked up. And the more the Taliban moves in, the more India gets nervous. So India is getting really nervous about everything, and Pakistan is unraveling at the same time. And America isn't helping anything by firing drones into Pakistan.
Well, it's not even the problem is that a lot of the Taliban are also being fueled by, you know, the Western aggression as they see it in the Middle East, the quagmire in Iraq, and the fucking disaster zone called Afghanistan.
Yeah, the whole situation is just a gigantic clusterfuck, and there is... We can't just leave. We can't stay. And also, I mean, after I got depressed watching everything, my dad tried to explain to me that that place is being fucked up forever. And it will always be fucked up, and thus far, it hasn't been a game changer. I'm a bit nervous that it will be, but I mean, things were pretty hot back in the 70s and 80s. But, you know, we survived that, so, you know, fingers crossed,
Alrighty.
I guess.
Alrighty!
Because literally, we can say whatever the fuck we want on this. That doesn't matter. Nothing matters. You know, we just have to hope that things play out for the best there.
Yep. You gotta hope that little thing called humanity shines through at the end. Alright, I want to talk about something different before we end. I showed this to you. The only reason I feel... like I need to mention anything about it is just because of I kind of detest when celebrities get involved with causes, particularly causes they don't really understand. And case in point, Mr. Jim Carrey, who is on a crusade to stop parents from taking the MMR vaccine. And I read this on Huffington Post, actually. Like, he wrote an entire blog thing about it.
Mm.
And I was just, I don't know, I wish I had a line directly to Jim Carrey to say, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you know why he's doing it, right?
Because he has an autistic son, right?
My understanding is that he's dating Jenny McCarthy. Remember her?
Yes. Yeah.
Barely, and kind of like that. What the?
I was like, oh yeah, she was in that really horrible movie, and then she disappeared.
It's like people used to want to see her naked, I seem to remember.
Yeah, somewhere along the lines they wanted to. And then she missed that boat.
Anyways, she's always been a big... She's one of those people, because you were mentioning this before, the thing that drives you nuts about this whole autism thing is that people like Larry King devote all this time to having guests on to talk about it. And Jenny McCarthy is one of those people that's been on there a couple of times, and she's always saying, don't get any of these shots. What is it, anti-flu, or is it anti...
No, it's measles, mumps, you know, a variety of ones. Like,
yeah,
important inoculations. It's not a flu one. It's basically, it is the measles and the mumps that, you know, if you don't get an inoculation for it when you're an adult, they can be deadly. They can fucking kill you.
Yep.
Do not underestimate these motherfucking diseases. The only reason they're not a problem is because of inoculation. What a surprise. What a fucking surprise.
Yeah, but she's been on there quite a bit talking about how these inoculations cause autism.
It just drives me crazy. It's one of the things that he mentioned in his blog post was saying, well, you know, he did admit that there was no real scientific evidence to support it. I mean, what basically has it started is the Lancet, which always is on that fringe of medical science.
Oh.
It's like a medical journal in Great Britain. And they're always on that fringe, you know, like where they're... One day they'll have a fucking article that's kind of like, oh, homeopathy works, but then they'll retract it later if they're on that cutting edge. Like, sometimes they get it right, most of the time they get it wrong, in my opinion. But they've been involved in way too many of these kinds of things to get my respect. But basic point is that there was an article, I think it was in the 1970s, said that it was possible. Every person there, I think there was like nine guys who had contributed to the paper. Every single one of those guys retracted what they had said. They admitted that they had made the wrong conclusions, that they were just looking at the data wrong. There is no connection. Autism is not caused by vaccines. I mean, the science is not there. The science is so not there, and it's annoying to hear these parents saying, well, you know, my child used to be all full and fun and happy, and then I gave him an inoculation, and a little while later, he became autistic. Well, guess what? That's usually the age, coincidentally, where they start displaying the, you know, symptoms of Asperger's or autism or any of the other kind of related neurological disorders. And it drives me insane. I mean, like, I have to wonder how many people put their own kids' lives just because some moronic parent who thinks he's really got it figured out is sort of going on and saying, well, my child wasn't autistic before this immunization, so it must have been that. I'm like, maybe it was all the grilled cheese sandwiches you fed him, or, You know, the fact that there was radon in your basement. I don't know. Is it possible that perhaps you don't understand what is going on, that it's beyond you?
I just think it's really unfortunate that, you know, something like that would be allowed to be spread. So, that kind of disinformation, basically. I mean, there are certain laws, and again, I'm going to end up sounding like the right-wing no free speech guy.
This should be good. Go ahead.
But I'm just amazed that you're allowed to spread false medical information like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I understand. I mean, what annoys me is there's no filter. You know, if Larry King decides that MMR vaccines are bad, then he's going to play it on his show, and everybody's going to talk about it because he's an influencer. But Larry King is a fucking idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He just has his, you know, the things that Larry King cares about. Mm-hmm. Just because Larry King cares about them doesn't mean they're worth anything. It's fucking Larry King.
How long has it been since he's been relevant again? Like 20 years?
He was relevant when his suspenders were relevant. That's when Larry King was relevant. Yes, back in the old suspender days.